Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remembering unusual times that can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word. Greatest things in life all come in a pair. They say hindsight's 20/20, but that ain't far enough behind me. So if you want the sweetest honey, I think hindsight's 1990. There's no need to pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows Taught Me
was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Do you not want to wait? Neither do we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Jess, men may come and go to the UPS drop box, but you and I are a kindred spirit.
No one knows what that is in reference to.
We're rebels bound together by the common need to break out of this small town abyss. How Fair. About that?
Yeah.
About
who's that? The Jen and who's the Abby?
I think I'm probably... I guess I'm the Jen.
I don't want to be either, to be honest.
I was just thinking, like, okay, would like, I'm probably the Abby... I was like, I'm probably the Abby because I'm spiraling, but then Jen's also spiraling, and she's like,
yeah, I'd argue Jen is spiraling more than Abby is. Abby's at least consistently awful.
I mean, you say awful, I say inspired.
I mean, I appreciate her as a character. Would I want to be friends with her? No, not even a little bit.
Yeah, I'm excited to get into the Jen and Abby stuff this week.
Mm-hmm.
Our disaster duo, yes. Some would say.
We stand a disaster duo.
I stand them. I like them.
Mm-hmm.
How was your Thursday?
It was good. It's actually sunny for once. I feel like it's been raining a ton here, and so we had some nice weather, which is great. It's almost Friday, which is great. Mother's Day's coming up. I mean, all good things. Everything's looking up around here. What about you? How was your day?
Today was pretty good. This week has been about doing a bunch of stuff that I've been putting off for like months.
Mm-hmm.
So I got my taxes done this week.
Love that.
And I like went to a doctor. So we love that.
Love
so
that
I'm just
too.
Like, I just feel like I'm killing it this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel the same way. Like whenever I get stuff done, I just like such a good feeling in my gut. Like I was productive. Yeah.
Yeah. But now I have like this month was like there was nothing on the board. And now there's like a bunch of shit on the board. Like I just feel like I have so much stuff to do this month now because I just am signing myself up to do all these things that I have been putting off. So now it's like a little overwhelming.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you'll get through
whatever.
It.
Whatever. I'll feel good. Once I get to June, I'll feel good about it.
Yeah. And then we'll be kicking it into summer, which is fantastic. Can you believe we're here already? Crazy times.
Summer. Yeah. I'm excited for summer. I mean, obviously, I don't have like any big vacation plans because what are those? But I'm excited. I think we'll feel good about like going to like the beach this year. Like, I don't think that we'll feel the same way that we did last summer where we're like, yeah. Are we even allowed to step foot out of our house?
Exactly. Yeah. I'm hoping we'll be able to do at least like one type of short trip this summer, like even if it's just a weekend or something like that, just to kind of get out and see something different than the inside of mm-hmm. our house, which we've seen for yeah. a very long time. So yeah, yeah. I'm excited. I'm loving the spring into summer shift. It is happening very quickly.
Yeah.
But we need to talk about this episode because we all saw you tweeting about your love of this episode.
Oh, you saw me live tweeting the episode this week?
Yes. Wild yeah. times. It was, you got to admit, fantastic episode of television.
It was, a fantastic episode. I really enjoyed it. I think, once again, I don't know if this is a hyperbole, but I was like, this is like, I don't know, the perfect 1 hour of television. Like, I keep using that phrase, and I don't think that I've ever used this phrase before, but I guess it's exclusive for Dawson's Creek somehow. But yeah, this episode was like definitely giving me life. I gotta tell you, I was very nervous in the first 5 minutes of this episode. We got our title, Full Moon Rising, mm-hmm. and the date is around Halloween. The air date's November 4th.
Oh, so you were like, oh shit, it's a Halloween episode. We're gonna hate it.
Exactly, because of how it starts off.
Yeah.
With like Joey and Dawson talking about some werewolf shit. Like, you know what yeah. I mean? Or the full moon. So I was like, crap, yeah. like this episode is gonna bite. Like, I was pretty convinced that it was a Halloween episode. And it could have been like, this could have been like technically their Halloween yeah. episode.
It could have been like, but honestly, if you pull out the thread of it being a full moon, I still feel like, the episode doesn't fall apart. Like, you don't even need that storyline. No. I have a feeling they just threw that in because they're like, oh, this is going to be around Halloween. Let's, like, mm-hmm. tell them it's a full moon. Even yeah, though exactly. all these characters would act this way, even if it wasn't a full moon.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So I was scared going into it. And it just, like, I feel like this kind of, we've kept on building and building and building this season, and we're only 6 episodes in, but it felt like, you know, we kept like, you know, you got on a, you're on a roller coaster, and like you're at like going up, 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 up the roller coaster, mm-hmm. and it has like that clicking noise, you know what I mean, Jessica? Yes,
yeah.
And then like now we got to like the top of the roller coaster and we just started going down. Like, yeah. I feel like this, all of what's been happening was like a buildup for some of the things that happened in this episode. And I was yeah. really excited about
yeah,
it.
I agree. Like, it was like, this is like kind of the turning point for a lot of different pairings and a lot of different relationships in the show. Mm-hmm. And it's really exciting to finally get to this point. We learn a lot about a lot of different characters in a very like a tight 40 minutes. So yep. I really, really liked this episode as well. I'm really excited to get into it.
Yeah, me too.
Let me give you our different pairings that we have. Let me just get rid of, we don't need that. Okay. So here are the pairings that we have. We have, as always, Dawson and Joey. Jen and Vincent. Who knew he'd be back? Not me. Andy and Pacey. Abby and Jen. Dawson and the family. Joey and Jack. Jen and Grams, Abby and Dawson, and that is it.
Yeah, I mean, you know we like to get rid of the duds first. That's yeah. kind of our
spiel.
We like
to save the spice for last.
We like to save the spice for last. So I guess we should just get into, like, Mitch and Gail shenanigans.
Yeah, we really need to because this was the one segment of the episode where I was like, I could have done without this, but at least if we're going to include it, like, it's a little bit more spicier than it has been. And we finally, right. at the end of it, we have, like, somewhat of a path going forward. It's not just, like, this ambiguous arguing between Mitch and Gail by the end of this whole right. thing.
Exactly.
But, like, I'm curious to know your opinions as well on, like, if you're, like, Team Gail, Team Mitch, or your team neither, because the whole situation basically is Gail is going to have a male coworker over for dinner on a Saturday. Mitch is like upset. He thinks it's a Thursday excursion, which I love Dawson just being like, what are Thursdays about?
Actually, this was like probably one of my favorite like parts of the episode is Dawson being so confused what Thursdays are. Mm-hmm. And it became like a running gag. Like he said it 3 or 4 times. He's like, what is Thursdays?
Yeah.
What's Thursdays? Well,
like, tell me what Thursdays are. Yeah.
I mean, today's a Thursday. Anything could happen today.
Which is why I thought it was even extra funny because we record on Thursdays. He's like, what are Thursdays? Like his brain was exploding all episode about this.
I mean, can you imagine if Dawson realized that two girls from the East Coast were talking about his life on Thursdays? He's like, wait a minute. What does this mean? What are Thursdays?
His head is already too big from like being like some amateur filmmaker, but he'd really be getting a boner for like us talking about him and his whole life and all his shenanigans.
I mean, Dawson, for once your life is becoming a little bit interesting, so yes. I'll give it to you.
Yeah, so basically Mitch is like, oh well, of course I'm gonna worry if you're having coworkers over. And Gail shots fucking fired with the at least I have coworkers. Oh, bitch.
Yeah, so this was really interesting because I don't know if you remember, but this was an early season one prediction of mine that a lot of their resentment was surrounded of over like Mitch not having a job.
Yeah.
Or like not, or like at least Gail being the breadwinner. Mm-hmm. And that was really talked about in this episode. So I want to just give myself a little pat in the back. That was like a early season one prediction of mine that I got right. I saw the vibes. I got the vibes right. Mm-hmm. So, So Mitch is still considering to buy this like warehouse from Gail for the restaurant. And essentially Gail is like, you know, where are you going to get this money from, bud?
Right. She's tired of basically supporting his, what she calls like pipe dreams. Like she's like, you know, how many years has this been going on? And basically what ends up happening is Tamara comes over to the house, which Gail is like very clearly not okay with, because she knows the rumors about Gail. And right,
from the PTA.
Right.
That must have been the scandal of the PTA, oh my gosh, if I ever heard one.
Yeah. Yes, the rumor mill was a flying. But yeah, I feel like Gail is also like, I feel like Gail thinks that this is just Mitch's way of getting back at her because she's having her coworker over, that he must have invited Tamara over just to like get back at her. And it ends up in a huge argument, a huge battle. We have Dawson in the middle of it, which again, is super awkward and like, I feel like they are stupid enough to think that Dawson doesn't notice all of the tension between them and like all the issues that they're going through. And Dawson is basically just trying to fix this whole thing. But who do you think, I mean, who do you think is to blame here? Or is it both of them in this scenario?
So obviously Gail had the initial affair and Mitchell. This is when I'm being stern with him. Mitchell is like, I mean, we've been saying it, and Dawson says it very well. Like, you know, you are not letting it go. It was a mistake, and you have to get beyond your own ego and forgive her. But then again, you know, everybody has their own feelings. And I feel like if it was a woman, like maybe we wouldn't expect her to just get over it as quickly as we're expecting Mitch to get over it. We're like, get over it, Mitch. So I got to say, like, fine. If you're not over it, fine. If you can't forgive her, fine. But then you can't say that you want to stay in the marriage and like stay under the same house with each other and pretend and like bring in this like bullshit way to quote unquote try to fix your marriage.
I
say that you still want to stay married. Right. So
I agree. I don't think that the open marriage was ever going to be a really viable option for them to fix things, because the whole issue with them was trust. And we see it again in this episode, right? Like Gail just thinks that he's using Tamara against her because she's having over this coworker. And I just think like at the point where you have Dawson being the mediator here, like, you know, it's gone too far and that things need to change. So I was just like so happy when finally at the end of this episode, it was like, all right, it's time. Mitch says he's going to move out.
But ultimately this thing is not about the affair, but the affair is a cause of year-long resentment towards Mitch about having to, like, support the family.
Right.
While Mitch feels as though she's never supported her. And he's basically saying there's more to support than financial support. Like, you never, like, gave me, like, emotional support.
Right.
So, ultimately, you know, they seem like the perfect couple when we meet them in episode one. But this is, they've been together for a very long time, right? Mm-hmm. They've been together, like, since they were teens.
I believe so, yeah. I think there's, like, high school sweethearts or something like that.
So, this is 10-year-old resentment that we're dealing with. And that is, at least, and that is a tough thing to crack.
Right.
So now we kind of understand why Mitch just can't really let go, because the two of them have probably, like, secretly been angry towards each other for a really long time.
Right. And I think the thing is, too, I feel like I'd be remiss to not mention that I feel like Mitch is a very much an adult version of Dawson in terms of, like, he's a dreamer and, like, he's a creative guy versus someone who, like, what wants a normal 9-to-5, like, just making the money. You know what I mean? Like, I could see whoever ends up with Dawson being just as frustrated if he's spending 10 years pursuing this dream job that maybe doesn't pan out and doesn't pay the bills, right? Like, at a certain point, the money needs to come from somewhere. And I totally see where Gail's coming from if that was what was causing her frustration. Obviously, like, cheating is not the answer. We all know that. But I think there's multiple layers of, like, who's at fault here, but thank God it's, like, seemingly.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. Like, he says, you know, Gail says it's time and says, like, should I go? And Mitch is like, no, I'll go. Mm-hmm. And so we'll see. So now it seems as though they're going to be separated, which I feel as though they probably needed a timeout from each other a while back. I don't think this is over. I think that we're still going to be dealing with, like, is this ultimately going to become a divorce? I think that I'm tired. And, like, I could tell that they're tired, you know?
Yeah.
The characters of Gail and Mitch, they're tired of having to deal with this.
Yeah, and at least if it means that we're taking at least, like, one or two episode break from this storyline, that's all I really want, is to just not have to talk about Mitch and Gail for, like, a hot minute.
Yeah, this has been, I thought that we were going to wrap this up at the end of season one, and this is a continuation in the last six episodes that I wasn't anticipating. Putting Dawson, your 16-year-old son, in the middle of this, having to be put into a position where it's like, are you guys having an open marriage or not?
Yes.
Like, he shouldn't have to deal with that.
No.
I feel pretty bad for young Dawson, and you can see him feeling it here because it's confusing.
Yeah.
Because they're confused. Their relationship, their hot mess relationship, is confused. So let's hope that we can just put a pin in this Mitch and Gail thing for a little bit.
For at least a couple episodes. So we said we wanted to save the super spice for later. So do we want to jump to Jen and Vincent next? Before we get into, like, in my opinion, the better storylines. I mean, they're all good, but do we want to go there next?
Sure.
Okay. So before we get into their particular storyline, we want to give a trigger warning, content warning, just in case anybody's uncomfortable with the topic we're going to be discussing, because it does have a little bit to do with sexual assault. So we can give you guys the hotline for the National Sexual Assault Hotline is 1-800-656-4673. Available 24 hours a day. Just again, content warning, we're going to be talking about it ever so slightly for this particular plot line. Vincent's back. Who the fuck knew that was going to happen?
I was shocked. Like, I was shocked to see Tamara, which we'll talk about. Well, we did talk about. Tamara's there, still trying to get rid of the place, wants to get off Cape Side, fine. Was very shocked to see her, was not anticipating to see her again.
Right, because then, the way they closed things off last episode, it was kind of like a complete circle. Like, we didn't need to see her again.
yeah, she was, you know, getting her car and her leaving. So yes. I was like, okay, she's getting her car and she's leaving. Fine. But she was back and I was like, what the fuck is she doing back? And then the next scene, you see Vincent. I'm like, what the fuck is he doing back?
Yeah. Like, all of these characters who really should be, like, one episode characters somehow come back again. I guess they just didn't get enough of their Jen and Vincent stuff in the last episode. So it's like, well, let's bring him back again. He's flirting with Jen. He's asking her on a date. She finally says yes. And, like, what I thought was strange, maybe she knew Graham's had, like, a standing, like, Bible study class or something like that. But to invite this guy over to her house is pretty fucking bold, to be honest. I think that
Jen's just, like, lost all sight of, like, what is okay.
Yeah.
I think that she's in, like, a state of peril, essentially. Like, that was stupid, especially because, like, Grams is like, I won't be home late. Like, you know that Bible study is, like, an hour. Like, get out of town, Jen. Yeah. You're going to invite this dude back to your house? Like, so dumb.
It's just, like, at 7:30. Like, how the fuck late is Bible study going? Like, you only have, like, an hour before Grams is going to walk in on you.
Grams is going to be home by 9, 110%. Yeah,
she doesn't stay out later than 9 on a weeknight, that's for sure.
No, what do you... No. So, yeah, yeah, so we do have Grams trying to get Jen to Bible study. Would never happen. I like how she was like, if you ignore the religious ramifications, you might find it simply entertaining. It's like, if you just listen to the nice stories, then maybe you'll have, like, a nice story time.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, what? No, it is ridiculous. To be fair, a lot of stories and in media in general are based off of, like, stories from the Bible, but, like, that is the whole point of going to, like, a Bible study class is to, like, learn about the Bible. Like, Jen has no interest in this, Grams. Like, just give it up already, you know? What are we doing here? We're in season two, come on.
Vincent shows up. Mm-hmm. She's serving him a nice cup of coffee late at night.
7:30 is pretty late for a cup of coffee.
Well, you know, some people have their evening coffees. We've talked about this.
I guess so.
He's being flirty. She's flirting back. They decide to move to the table and they're telling stories. Your most embarrassing sexual encounter.
Yeah. This did not age well at all. At all, at all.
Oh, okay. I was listening to the story that Vincent was telling about how he was in New Orleans. He almost hooked up with a drag queen and, like, he found out and they stayed up all night laughing and drinking and now they're friends. So I was listening to the story and it was for me, it was starting to curve to cringe and then it took a sharp right into, like, okay town. Like, I was listening to the story. I'm like, this sounds like it's going to be very, very bad. But the fact that, like, he took it and he was like, this was a cool guy. Like, we really hung out for the rest of the night. And then I was like, okay, like, this is not as bad as I was anticipating. But I know exactly where you're going because my head went there, too. I was like, ooh, this is cringe. Yeah. Like, I don't know about this.
It was mostly the line of, like, oh, she's a he that, like, really got me in the ick factor. And then also later on when Jen says something like, oh, maybe the drag queen and I have more in common than you think. And he's like, let's hope not too much. And maybe that's the only one thing or whatever. Like, I didn't like that either. So they're getting drunk. And this is when Jen tells him about getting caught in her parents' bed. And, like, this, I'm sorry, the entire date that they had, they were sitting, like, a foot from each other's faces. And I was so uncomfortable. Like, it is... These people are such close talkers when they're flirting with people. It's so much. And he, like...
It's because they have to get both of them in the same frame.
Yeah, it's just so much. And then he, like, rubs, like, I don't know, cherry pie, whatever it was. Like,
oh, yeah, on a lot of lip touching. A little much. A lip. Yeah, so... Yeah. I mean, honestly, I thought that Jen was going to tell the story about, like, Dawson. About the most embarrassing situation.
I guess so. I feel like I knew it was going in the direction of her parents' bed because that's like her thing.
That's like story. No, that's such a boring story.
Exactly. You've told this. This is like her claim to fame. This is like her fucking party favor trick or whatever. Like she tells the story like, oh my gosh, this one time. Like Jen, it's not even that big of a deal. Stop it. No one cares about it.
I'm over that story.
Yeah.
Over it.
It's too much.
Do you have any, you don't have to tell it, but do you have any, like, any embarrassing sexual encounters that stick out in your mind?
There's like one, but it's not even, again, it's like, it's similar to Jen's, but not like, it wasn't like on my boyfriend at the time's parents' bed. It was more like his sister walked in while we were like messing around, but it was not like,
yeah,
we were like covered in blankets and so it wasn't like, I don't think it was that embarrassing.
Yeah. Mine is like half a ghost story, half an embarrassing story.
Half a what story?
A ghost.
Oh, a
ghost story.
A ghost story and half an embarrassing story? How do those things mix?
Once
we got caught
having
sex by a ghost.
So once upon a time, I was involved and I heard like a door slam. So I pulled away and like ran to the bathroom, which was directly like adjacent from this person's room. And from the corner of my eye, like, so it was like, you know, there was a hallway straight to the bathroom from the person's room. And then like a T hallway that went to the living room. And from the corner of my eye down that hallway, I saw a figure go across. And I thought that was this person's dad. So then I was in the bathroom. And eventually, the person knocked on the bathroom door. And he was like, is everything okay? I'm like, yeah, but like, your dad's over there. And there, and he's like, no, he's not. And I was like, what do you, I saw them. I heard the slam. He's like, I didn't hear a slam on the door. Of the door, like there's nobody here, nothing happened. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, I swear I saw somebody in the corner of my eye and I heard the door slam. There was nobody there. There's nobody, there's no door slam, there's no person. So it's like a ghost story and an embarrassing sexual encounter. So, how about
that? Did he ever say that his house was haunted?
This house was definitely not haunted.
Interesting.
No, I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
We'll never know. Like, once he was like, maybe it was the gardener, but like, it was definitely not the gardener. There was just nobody there. We don't know who it was.
Spooky.
Besides a ghost. It's a
pervy ghost, obviously.
Pervy ghost. Only fitting to tell during the Halloween episode of Dawson's Creek. Yes. The only time this story is fitting.
Only time
to
make it
share.
Work. Yeah, it's a
but it's an embarrassing story because I was like so embarrassed. I'm like, oh my god, we like been spotted by nobody but the pervy ghost.
Pervy ghost. Those pervy ghosts. So this is where it gets into the spot where we kind of did the trigger warning, the content warning at the beginning, because Jen basically says, you know, they've taken it far enough. She very obviously wants to stop, and he's really just not listening to her at all. Like, he's just like, oh, we're just getting started. We're just getting to the good stuff. Like, first of all, ew. Like, gross.
Yeah.
And of course, perfect timing on Grams. This is when Grams walks in.
Well, she screams, I'm 16. I'm 16.
Yeah. And yet, I think he says like, oh, what? But he doesn't get off of her because they're on the table, by the way. So Grams walks in with a fantastic line. Not even God will save you if you don't get your hands off my granddaughter right now. You know,
crazy.
The most I've liked Grams so far.
Yeah, she really told it like it is.
Yeah.
So Vincent leaves, and I mean, if this could possibly be the last time we ever see Vincent. Who
Let's
knows?
Hope.
Probably not. And then just to finish up the Graham stuff, Graham's later on in the episode goes to talk to Jennifer and warns her about going back to her old New York City ways and says, you must act like a lady. And it's like, and then she said, don't you have any respect for yourself?
Yeah.
And my whole thing is, no, Grams, she has no respect for herself, and that's the problem.
Well, here's the thing. The thing that I like that Grams comes to Jen's defense, but I really just don't think that this is the way to address it with her, because I think there's a fine line. Because she says, like, oh, I won't allow you to slide back into your reprehensible New York behavior. You will not degrade yourself. Have you no respect? And it's like, I think there's a difference, right? Having sex with a person who is, like, in his 30s or however old Vincent is, like, that you just met on a kitchen table of your grandmother's house, probably a bad idea. But I also think, like, you're kind of blurring the lines of, like, saying, like, basically calling your granddaughter a slut. And I feel like that is something that she shouldn't be saying. I feel like it's kind of going below the belt to be like, you have no respect for yourself, even if it's true that Jen doesn't. I feel like the better option is to be like, listen, I don't want you having sex, But if you are going to, you should be using protection and you should be doing it with someone who you feel safe with. But Grams isn't going to do that. That's the thing.
I know. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I was like, but it's Grams and what Christian woman you know says no, that she's that's not going to
do it. But I just feel like she went way too far with what she did say.
Yeah, she was being nasty. But the thing, it's a very real thing, though. Like, there's something about, like, your mother or your motherly figure can be your biggest comfort and the nastiest person.
Yeah.
They could be, they're the one person, like your mom or your grandma, whatever, like, figure, can just be the, say, know the exact thing to say to just hit you where it hurts the most. And so it's a very realistic conversation in my mind about how quickly Gramps can go from, like, the last episode being, like, you're, like, my whole entire world to being, like, you have no respect for yourself. Like, where's your decency? It's not good. It's just realistic.
Yeah. And I can see, like, you know, Jen's drinking. She's having strange men over to the house. Like, I can see how Gramps would see that this is her going back to, like, her quote-unquote New York ways. I'm just like, you could probably have a different tone, especially considering
I agree
Jen looks shaken. Like, she looks really upset. She doesn't look like she's angry that she got caught. She looks like she's very just upset in general. And so I think, like, maybe having a different tone in that moment is probably a better approach.
And Jen said, like, I really can't be, like, given this talk right now. Like, I'm just, like, not meant. She's, like, basically she's saying, like, she's not mentally here to, like, reciprocate or, like, to listen to anything that Grams has to say in a negative manner because she's just so over life. She's, like, over herself with the Dawson shit. She has no friends. She lost Abby. Like, everything's a mess in her life.
Yeah. Speaking of Abby, I think we need to talk about Jen and Abby because it coincides with the storyline.
Yeah. Jen says in the beginning of the episode that they have not reconciled yet. And they're taking a, what's the phrase? She says, we are taking a trial separation period. Yes,
which is what Mitch and Gail will inevitably be doing.
Exactly. So Jen can be spotted at some sort of, like, makeup boutique looking at Urban Decay makeup, which I thought was incredible. I was like, holy cow, like, look at that old logo. That is so cool. I was, like, very interested. Like, Urban Decay, like, when it wasn't right after, like, the MAC days, like, you know, MAC, it was, like, all about Urban Decay because they had, like, the bright colors and the blackest eyeliner.
Yeah, more like, and, like, punk rock kind of colors. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But I, like, that was kind of my first, like, upscale makeup brand. Upscale, not, like, it's really called mid-level, but whatever.
But if it's, I feel like if it's you're buying it at a Sephora, it is considered like high end versus
high
like
end, an Ulta, quote unquote high end. Or it's not like Dior or Marc Jacobs or Chanel. It's mid level. Whatever. Nobody cares. But that was like my first makeup brand that I ever got into.
Yeah.
And I still to this day. The Naked palette is, like, the best palette ever. Oh, that's
the thing, yeah.
That was the thing back in the day. That, like, blew up. And it was also Urban Decay's, like, first nude palette. Because, like I said, they did a lot of bright colors prior to that that weren't totally wearable for every day. So the Naked palette, like, really, like, transformed their brand. And, like, every other makeup brand copied them afterwards.
Yeah.
But also, their eyeshadow primer, I still use to this day. It's my favorite eyeshadow. I've heard good things
about that one. Yeah. I like the Milani one a lot. That's the one I use the most. Yep. But I've heard good things about the Urban Decay one.
Yeah. Sorry to all our male listeners that have no cares about makeup. But when I saw this, I was tickled. That's I was a like, throwback. What? It was a throwback. So Abby comes in and she's like, are you still mad at me? Like, because I hope that, like, we're, like, over this. And it's like, what?
Yeah, she's like, I get a little wiggy around this time of the month. We're kindred spirits. And can I just say, was it not last episode or the episode before we literally talked about, like, I'm surprised Abby didn't shoplift. Boom. Yep. Abby shoplifting. We prophesized it.
Yeah. Abby's, like, picking up, like, everything.
And it's not, she's not even trying to hide it. She's legitimately, like, literally at one point, she picks her bag above her head and pops a lipstick into it. And I'm just like, the balls on this girl to just do that in front of everybody.
She wants to get caught. Yeah, she wants to get caught. Yeah, she's like, oops.
Dropped the lipstick in my bag. Like, bitch, what about your, like, $1,000 allowance? Did you spend it all? Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So basically, Jen's like, okay, are we, like, over this whole guy thing? And Abby's like, of course, of course. And she's like, Jen's like, okay, great, because I've been dying to tell somebody, but I have a date with Vincent. And then Abby's like, you bitch.
She's like, so great.
How dare you steal him from me? And Abby literally is like, are you out of your mind? Like, what are you talking about? And
Abby chases her down the street and calls her like an easy lay. The slap heard round the world.
I could not believe it. Yeah. So ultimately, like, the final straw of this whole thing was like, she says, good old Vincent probably knows an easy lay when he sees one. And that's what made Jen slap her. Mm-hmm. And it was a good slap. It had a good noise to it.
The noise, the hair. Like, you know it's a good slap when Abby's hair just goes flying to the side.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. It was a sight to see. I yelped. I live tweeted. I was like, what? So right in the face. And Jen goes, don't you ever talk to me ever again.
Yeah. And then Abby comes by later, like, crazy. She just shows up and she's like, I can't believe you hit me.
She's like, I would never hit you. Like, how could you?
Yeah. I feel like that tracks. I feel like Abby is definitely more of the hurts you with her words than with her hands.
Yeah. I'm your best friend. It's like, are you though?
They have a very weird, I think Abby just in general probably has very strange relationships, but
with people anyway. And Jen's like, in the past 2 days, you call me a bitch, you call me a slut, you've called me a loser. And and Abby's like, yeah, but I would never hit you.
Yeah, there's a line and I would not cross that one. Which is what leads Abby to like
this was great.
Dying. Yeah, Abby. I thought this was
hilarious.
I need more of Abby and Dawson as a duo, because I was dying. This is the downside, Dawson, to putting a fucking ladder outside your bedroom window. Who random girls.
But how did the ladder get back?
I thought the same thing. I was like, because we made a huge deal about, like, oh my gosh, it's the fall of the ladder. The ladder is down. We basically
had a memorial service.
We did. We had a wake. We had a funeral for this poor fucking ladder. And then, boom, bitch is back up. I think is what it is.
I couldn't believe it.
I think it's like, oh, like, Mitch and Gail are so consumed with Mitch and Gail that Dawson and Joey just propped that shit right back up and no one said anything.
Maybe they just painted the ladder black and Mitch and Gail don't even notice. They're probably. Like, oh, it's camouflaged.
Yeah. Meanwhile, wild. Fucking Abby's like, boop, 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 up into the fucking window.
Yeah.
Like, so spying on Jen and Vincent.
It was crazy. Yeah. So Dawson goes upstairs from, like, being in the middle of this argument between his parents. Actually, he gets sent up the room like a child. Go to your room, Dawson. And Dawson's like, ugh.
We can't talk about our open marriage with you, Dawson. Go to your room.
Yeah, Dawson does like this huge like back neck roll and is like, ugh. And then he like throws himself on the bed and Abby like makes an exclamation and is just like, what? What are you doing here, Abby? And she's like legit just spying on Jen and Vincent with binoculars, like these giant bird watching binoculars.
Yeah, and she makes up this whole lie about how, oh, she's so concerned for Jen. And then like basically, and this is the scary part, is when you have Abby saying, oh, just let them fight. Eventually they'll get a divorce and everything will get better because my allowance is quadrupled, which now explains how she's able to afford all of these things.
Yes, yeah.
And then Abby hits on Dawson because she's really just trying to get back at Jen. So she's hitting on Dawson. She wants to kiss Dawson in front of the window so Jen sees. She's like, can you at least just tell Jen that we hooked up? Like,
no. Dawson's like, she would never buy it.
No.
But why is Dawson letting Abby massage him?
I think it goes back to him not being able to set proper boundaries. We saw it with him and Jen, and here we see it again with him and Abby. I think he's just uncomfortable with saying, like, okay, please don't touch me, right? Because Abby should not have done that in the first place. But
no.
Here's the thing. We have to give some credit to Abby because she is the one who says, why don't you tell Jen that you and Joey are in an open relationship? And I feel like this is when the light bulb goes off in Dawson's head, like, oh, shit, that's what's going on with my parents.
Oh, that's what Thursdays are for.
Finally knows.
Come on, Dawson. Like, come on. You're a smart kid, right? Like, you could have figured this out a little bit.
Is that the first thing you'd think of, though? If your parents kept mentioning Thursdays, like, I don't think my first gut instinct would be like, oh, they're in an open marriage.
What are Thursdays? I don't know. The way that they were talking about it, I feel like it's pretty obvious, but obviously we're in the know, but
I think maybe the one that would have gotten me was the line where Gail is like, oh, I feel like your Thursday activities are spilling over into the weekend. Like, I feel like that should be the light bulb being like, boom, open marriage.
Right. Yeah. So I guess this was,
sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I guess this was just like a plot device for Dawson to like turn on that little light bulb.
I also think it was just kind of fun, right? Like, I feel like at this point, the writers know they have gold with Abby. And so they're like, let's just pair her with random people. And her and Dawson was seriously legitimately cracking me up. It was so funny.
It was really, really fun to watch the two of them. Abby made fun of his room. She was like, nice room. Like, yeah, like that stinky, ugly room. Yeah, nice room, Dawson. Like, cute ET stuffed animal loser.
Yeah. God. So that was really fun. I really would enjoy seeing more of Abby and Dawson in the future, if I'm being honest. I think it's a very fun pairing. I really would like to see Abby with everybody because she's so awful that it's just really fun seeing her match with people.
You say awful. Once again, I say fun.
I mean, she's entertaining. Again, I wouldn't want to be friends with her, but I love watching her.
Yeah.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay.
So we're down to the last couple storylines. Where would you like to go next between we have Dawson
Joey and
Joey.
Dawson?
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Because we start our episode with them like we always do.
Watching some werewolf movies.
Yeah, they're talking about the full moon and how Joey basically says, oh, it's, I mean, you can't disagree with her here. This is where I feel like Joey likes astrology because she's talking about the tides and the moon and how we're made up of water and all of this stuff and it's science. And I was like, this bitch loves astrology.
Yeah, Joey was such a like a granola crystal like millennial this episode. She's just like going full tilt in the like, oh, the moon throws everything off kilter. Like weird things happen, Dawson. Like you just wait and see. And like Dawson's like, are you like superstitious, Joey Potter? And Joey's like, I'm just a little stitious.
Yeah. Like here's the thing. I feel like, again, I still feel like this entire episode works without the plot line of the full moon that was literally just thrown in because it's around Halloween. But, like, she has a point. Things get goofy around the full moon. And especially, I feel like you could maybe say that people were acting out of character this episode. But realistically, no. We were coming towards this point in the story anyway.
My favorite part of this scene was when Dawson almost fell off the roof.
Yes.
I was like, too bad.
Almost
too bad.
Had it. Almost.
Had it. Yeah. Maybe next time.
And then we see them reunite at the end of the episode. They've both had really weird nights. I mean, here's the thing. Honestly, this is the most I've liked Dawson thus far. I feel like it's because he's the underdog. He's the rootable guy right now. Only bad things are happening to the poor guy.
Yeah. Tom Palmer says this is the most sympathetic Dawson has ever been. I think he might have passed Joey in the meow meow bean count here. And then he says, although Pacey is obviously the Abed in the meow meow bean count.
Yeah. So for reference, if no one is listening to community building, meow meow beans are like the points that we give out for the different characters. And Abed is kind of running away with it right now. Yeah, I mean, I think that here's the thing. I don't think there's any one character right now that is like completely insanely better than the rest. I think they're all giving their own individual good points. And I think that he has a point with, like, Joey and Dawson kind of waffling. I know I mm-hmm. mentioned, like, being slightly annoyed with Joey last episode and some of the stuff that she was doing. And we had a little bit more sympathy for Dawson. And I think, what do you think about how they end the night, right? They, like, Dawson's like, I just want to forget everything else. And so Joey doesn't tell him about the kiss with Jack.
Okay, well, okay. I mean, we really would have to get into the Jack and Joey stuff, but it seems to me that Joey's developing feelings for Jack. I think that my first sign was the look back.
When Anytime Joey, there's a look back, yes.
You're like, there we go. She was feeling it back. Deep down inside, even though she didn't continue. We'll talk about that in a second. Yep. The second thing is when Dawson asked Joey to close her eyes and think of the moon. And she says, what do you see? And he says, it's the man. And she's like, what? And, like, I think when she closed her eyes, she saw Jack. I think that she was envisioning Jack. And then when he said, it's the man, I think that she was, like, put off for a little bit because she's like, the man? Like, and he makes a joke, and then she says, like, not a man, it's a woman. I didn't totally get it.
I didn't get that either, yeah.
When I was, I didn't, like, really get the whole, like, spiel, but I think I, like, almost thought that she closed her eyes and saw Jack. And then she does kind of try to tell him twice about the kiss with Jack, but ultimately she decides not to because I think that she wants to keep that for herself because I think that she likes it.
Interesting. A little bit. I thought there could be a couple different motivations for her not saying anything, and one of which is the fact that Dawson just had a really rough night, and I feel like she didn't want to, like, pile on. Because even if, let's give her the benefit of the doubt and say that she doesn't have feelings for Jack and she truly only has feelings for Dawson, then, like, he's just, his parents are going through a really rough time. He got into it with them tonight. He obviously seems very distressed. Why worry him with something that doesn't ultimately matter to her, right? And that's if we're giving her 100% benefit of the doubt that she didn't feel anything. Right. I do see that as a plausible reason not to say something. But I do feel like, I don't know, I feel like you have to say it. I feel like you have to say, listen, it didn't matter. It didn't mean anything to me, but so-and-so kissed me.
It didn't mean anything to her, then yes, she should have said something. Right. And I think that she probably would have. But I think that we're seeing, like, a shift here. There is, the moon has spoken. There is a shift in the moon tide. And I think that she likes having somebody that is into similar things as her. I think that, I don't know. Her whole entire life for Dawson.
Yeah.
Her whole life for Dawson. And now she has it. And it's like, is Joey Potter a woman that can be satisfied by getting what she wants? Or does she always have to keep looking and looking for something right. she needs to an unachievable goal?
Right. And I
think, is this boring for her?
Yeah, I think too, like, we can get into the Joey Jack stuff because it's kind of going to bleed into it anyway. I think that between last episode and this episode, I think Jack just continues to surprise her and with what he says, right? So, like, she didn't realize he was so into art and he was such a deep person that we saw last episode. And this episode, you know, she's angry. She's bitter that she's a waitress and that she has this customer who, like, isn't even buying anything besides coffee. And she's just like, woe is me. This sucks. And Jack puts, like, a positive spin on it. He's like, we're being exposed to so many different walks of life. When in your life are you going to experience this? He just seems, like, a little bit more happy-go-lucky about things. And I feel like she's looking at the world a little bit differently because of Jack. And maybe – I think there's – It's interesting. I feel like at this point in her life, right, where she's like, she's getting to the point where she's going to have to start thinking about college and moving away from the creek. And I think that, like, Dawson is home to her and he's her childhood and he's all of those emotions are wrapped up with him. Whereas Jack maybe represents a little bit more of, like, the possibility and growing up. And so I think that, like, of course, she's going to be drawn to something that's different than what she knows.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really good point. I think that also you know, Dawson and her always had that pessimistic, like, outlook on life. They used to make fun of each other. And, like, it was good because it's, like, it was Dawson and Joey. That's what they did. But I think that Joey's also frustrated with that. And seeing somebody that's, like, such, like, a, like, has such a great personality, like, a happy-go-lucky personality, more optimistic personality. Like, right. Obviously, this guy is going through a ton of shit that she doesn't even know of yet. And, I think that it's just a refreshing outlook on life.
Yeah.
Like, he's not like the other boys that she hangs out with. Like, right. He's not, like, dry, sarcastic, slash witty like Pacey. He's not, like, an overachieving filmmaker, like, realist like Dawson. Like, he's
right.
Very different than yeah. What she's normally
and I would also with. Say, too, like, I feel like we see her personality similarly. Like, when we saw her with Pacey, I feel like she had a similar, like, lightness to her. But it's mm-hmm. different. I feel like with Dawson, she's her most serious self. With Pacey, she's, like, her most lighthearted self. And then mm-hmm. with Jack, she's just, like, constantly learning. She can still be lighthearted, but, yes. Like, it's more, like, a deeper...
Evolving. Yeah, she's evolving. She's learning. Right. She's learning about passion.
Right. Right, because...
The arts. Yeah. Yes,
because they find, they basically, that customer, he writes a poem, and it's a really, like, beautiful poem.
Yeah, I wrote it down.
It's so nice.
Do you want me to read you my poem yes, to please. You? Okay, this is my poem dedicated to you, Jess. By moonlight many years ago, my true love did I know, and by that moon I begged her wait, but that night she did go. So young lovers, heed my words, don't squander love away. The moon is changing ever still, soon comes the light of day. A lovely poem.
It is.
And he leaves the guy that was staying there for, like, a really long time, left them $100 in this poem.
Crazy. Great. Wonderful.
And he disappeared.
Yeah.
Like the guy in the house that I just told you about.
Yeah. And this is
the It was thing. Exactly like that.
He was a pervy poltergeist. Absolutely. I like this because it's like, I feel like this represents Joey and Jack's relationship thus far really well, right? It's like very, like, arty. It's very deep. It's very, like... You know, I don't know. And it's interesting. What is your read on Jack so far? Because we've really only seen him in relation to other characters beyond last episode where we learned he liked the arts.
So, I mean, overall, I've been thinking Jack's like a little stale, a little boring. But that's because I didn't really know anything about his family life until this episode. Same thing with Andy. Like, I mean, everyone's like, I love Andy. Andy's the best. And I'm like, well, I don't know what's so good about Andy, but whatever. But I really like the arts thing. I like that he is positive. I think that... I was excited at the prospect of him kissing Joey. Like when they were like when the lights went out, I was like, kiss her, and he did. So I was excited about that. I don't know why. I guess I like it when people are like not loyal with each other. That's
pretty. Well, it's just good TV. Yeah. That's the thing.
Yeah.
I think though, I agree with you. I think that like Jack right now is kind of. I mean, we got a little bit more dimension to him with his interest in the arts, but. Beyond that, he is very, like, dry and just doesn't have a ton of personality. So yeah. I think I like that we're seeing more. And I think that if he wasn't related to Andy, I feel like there'd be even a lot less to be interested in. Like, I think his relationship with Andy and his role, as we'll hear from Andy's side in all of this, is interesting as well. He seems like he's kind of – because Andy is the glue – And he's more just like,
in the family.
Yeah, he's kind of just like making money for the household right now.
I think that he is just very, he is really just living each day by day. Like he's not getting too much in his feelings. He's like really suffocating all of his emotions because they had a very tough year.
I think he just is handling the grief in a very different way than Andy is. And, you know, he's handling it by pushing it aside and focusing on other things.
Yeah. He's a little dead inside,
a little bit,
I would say.
A little bit.
A little dead inside.
And that's my one gripe, if I had to have one gripe with that storyline, is that, like, I feel like there'd be more at stake when he kisses Joey if we knew him, like, a little bit better. Like, yeah, we could know him a little bit better before that move happens, you know?
We need him out of the Crab Shack.
Yeah, we need him doing other things. Like, and I also would appreciate him interacting with other characters, because we really only ever see him with Joey.
With Joey. And sometimes with Andy, but barely.
Barely.
Once with Pacey.
Yeah, but and that was a good conversation. I really did like that scene. So,
and his only interactions with Dawson is like, hey, Dawson, I'm going to go.
Yeah. So awkward, because then Dawson comes to pick up Joey. And this is when we get, like we were talking about earlier, the look back. And we know, we all know the look back in television and mm-hmm. movies. It's very significant. She does the look back.
Yep, does the look back. Were you concerned for any lobsters in the making of this episode?
No, but at the same time, like, that's a lot of lobsters for such a poor place.
I know. Lyndall from Australia says, the fact that the ice house has a fully stocked lobster tank, get the fuck out of here.
Thank you, Lyndall. I don't disagree with that. Granted, they're on the coast, so I guess maybe it's cheaper to get them there. But
yeah,
Joey was making a big stink about it. So
yeah. Tom Palmer says, Jack making power moves to try and become a main character. Yeah, totally got that main character energy. He's like, I want to be in the opening credits giving dirty looks to Pacey and Dawson. Let me be.
He says his heart is in the clouds, his feet are on the ground.
Feet, yeah. My life is turning around.
No, I totally agree. I feel like this is the push that Jack as a character needed to get that main storyline character arc going.
Yeah.
But I do think getting into PC and Andy, to me, Andy is the breakout star of this episode.
Oh, yeah. I want to first apologize for my live tweets where I was laughing at the weirdness between Andy and the house. I was like, what the fuck is up with the house? Like, what's wrong with the house?
But that's a completely natural reaction to have when you haven't seen the show before. And, like, Andy just keeps being obsessed with Pacey not going to her house. Because we get the vibes at the very beginning of the episode. It's like, yep. Oh, no, I want to meet you here or there or anywhere about my house, essentially.
Anywhere, but I was thinking that, like, they were living in, like, a hotel. Like, when she was like, I don't want to meet at the house, I was like, oh, like, maybe she lives at, like, a motel that's, like, towards the nice side of town. And like, maybe they're not living
in a house. Yes, I think that's a natural thought to have, because we know that they, one, have money problems. Two, she's driving the vehicle that is, like, the last remains of the dynasty, right? Mm-hmm. So it would track if they're putting on a facade of being rich, but really they're struggling, especially with Jack getting that job.
I thought that's where we're going with here.
Which I love that, right? Like, set up your expectations and then they completely subvert them into something else.
Oh, yeah. I was not anticipating. So, yeah, Andy meets Pacey at the video store. Pacey's watching Jacuzzi Floozies.
I love her calling him out on it, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no shame. So Pacey says, you know, I'm really sick of this verbal sparring that we're doing. It's getting pretty old. Should we just bite the bullet and go out on a date? How about that?
And she's just like, that is not how you ask somebody out. I'm not going out with you unless you ask me politely.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Good on you, Andy. Demands to be respected.
Andy knows her worth. She wants a proper ask out. So they agree to movies. And it gets like, he's like, I'll pick you up at the house. Like, I want to be a gentleman. And then Andy is like weird about it. And she's like, no, like, meet me at the ice house. No, meet me at the movies. And Pacey's like, no, I'm going to meet you up at the house. And then this is where it gets dicey. The quote was, this is very much like Monica and Rachel. Like, did you grab the key?
Yeah.
It's very this. Yeah. She goes, see you there. Don't be late. See you where, Andy? He says, see you where? Like, see you at the movies? Is that what you thought that you meant? See you at the house?
I feel like you could argue it both ways. You could see how, one, he'd be very confused because they discussed three different locations to meet at. And two, if you're him, you're very intrigued and curious why she doesn't want to meet at the house, right? Like, right, and I'm not saying he did this intentionally, but I am saying that, like, it's possible he's also very curious about what the fuck is going on at the fucking, at Andy's house.
Yeah, so then Pacey shows up at Andy's house. It's huge. It's like, he says it's like a Norman Rockwell painting. It's a big house, which I'm very curious, like, how they can afford the house, but I guess I don't need to know.
Well, I think it's, like, basically how they described later is that, like, they're keeping up appearances. So her dad is running the business in Rhode Island. It is failing. I'm assuming they're, like, just kind of cash poor at this point is what I would guess.
Hmm. Okay. So the mom invites him in, And she's basically like, oh, like, Andy talks so much about you. She's really smitten with you. Like, Will, Andy's dad, should be home at any moment. And then she's calling for Tim. And I said, like, who the fuck is Tim? Like, a second before, like, Pacey's like, who's Tim? And apparently Tim is Jack and Andy's older brother. He goes to Columbia and he sometimes comes home on weekends.
So did you sense any weirdness at this point in the episode?
I thought that, like, the mom just felt, it felt weird, but I couldn't place why. Like, yeah. I was like, okay. Like, when Tim
doesn't answer, I mean, she does say he has headphones in.
That didn't set off, like, weird bells to me. Like, it felt strange, and I couldn't, like, really, like, place why.
So
the mom invites him to dinner and says, like, you know, you set the table, like, Andy should be home, like, any moment. And Pacey's like, yeah, this is kind of like a bizarre first date, but whatever.
Right. And this is when Andy comes to the ice house. She's freaking out because, like, she realizes that Pacey probably went to her house because he wasn't at the movie theater and he wasn't there. He's probably at the house, and she's really, really freaking out. And I really
And then I was like, okay, this is the point where I was like, what the fuck is wrong with the house? Like, what's up with the house?
And this is where I really like how they did this, because we get to the point where Andy and Pacey meet at their house, and Andy just wants to, like, completely blow off her mom and, like, just leave and just get out. Yeah. And Pacey doesn't understand why, and Pacey assumes you're ashamed of me because I'm not as fancy as this fucking huge house, and you don't want your family to meet me, which, like, totally makes sense because he has no fucking clue what's going on.
So yeah, I liked it too. He's like, your mom thinks I'm worthy of meeting your country club dad. Like, why don't you feel that way?
Yeah.
And your Ivy League brother. And he's, like, refusing to leave, and she's like, please, like, let's go. And then she goes, Tim is dead. He's dead. Fucking what? So, I was very shocked by this. I was like, okay, like, I can't believe this. This was very surprising. So what happened was, about a year ago at homecoming, Columbia was playing against Cornell, and they were driving home from the game, I guess. His dad had too many drinks, so the mom was driving, and Andy and Jack were also in the car. They were, like, trying to get Tim's attention, and they got hit by a truck, or she hit in the truck, and he, I guess, was the only person from the family that passed away.
Right, because we've obviously seen three members of the four remaining family members, so we have not seen the dad, so we don't know, like, was he injured at all, you know what I mean? Like, we don't know. All we know is that Tim died in it, and we know that, as a result, her mom has really gone through some mental health issues, and, like, we don't know if this is as a result of, like, I mean, I feel like they infer that it is not anything to do with actual physical, like, damage to her brain. It's more of, like, a mental health issue that she, like, doesn't remember that Tim is dead, and she, like, she acts like the dad's going to be home any minute, and he's not even living there. He's living in Rhode Island. Like, their whole family seems to be falling apart at the seams, and Andy is the one who's the glue holding it together, because she's the only one who can handle her mom, is how she puts it.
Right, yeah, this was very fascinating. The fact that, like, Andy's mom is in complete denial. She refuses to come to reality. She spent some time in the hospital, but it, you know, some days are better than others, apparently.
Right.
And this is when, you know, she gets into, like, Jack helps, but he likes to pretend, like, if you don't think about it, it didn't happen. And, you know, it's really hard for Andy. So this is kind of the burden that she's been dealing with since she moved to Capeside.
Right. And we can, like, I mean, you can imagine that this is immensely difficult on top of the fact that she's trying to get good grades and trying to keep the family afloat and trying to keep her mom safe and at home. And you imagine that this is probably why they moved, because you, like, in a smaller town, if your family gets in this huge accident and your brother dies and your mom, like, has mental struggles as a result of it, like, you can imagine they're just the town gossip. That's what it is.
Yeah. She begged Pacey not to let it get out. Like, please don't tell anybody. I don't want my mom to be talked about.
Yeah.
And then, you know, at first she's like, Pacey wants to console her, and she, like, pushes him away. Like, I don't want your pity. Mm-hmm. But then Pacey's like, no, like, come here. And he, like, you know, gives her like a hug, a good hug, and consoles her, and she's just able to like cry in his arms, and it's like very, very sweet, because I think it's like really what Andy needs, and Pacey has the love to, has the ability and the like the love to give to her. Like, he's a good guy. Like, he really, really is.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think that if of all the people that you're going to tell this story to, it makes a lot of sense to tell it to Pacey, because he is somebody who can help console you. And, like, I just felt like, gosh, not only was the character of Andy, but, like, the actress who plays Andy, like, she did such a good job this episode. And I just thought, like, I mean, it's a heartbreaking storyline, and I'm just so happy we arrived at it, because I felt like I love Andy from the minute that we meet her, but I do think like you're kind of missing that chunk for a while that kind of explains a little bit more of her motivations and her resistance to really like, it makes sense. Like, she wants to hang out with Pacey because he's fun and he makes her not think about those things, but she also like can't take him seriously. So she's so totally nervous to like let him know any of this that's going on, because she doesn't necessarily take him that seriously.
Yeah, I think that Pacey definitely has the ability to be serious. It's just that you got to get him to that point. I got to tell you, I got to be honest with you. I'm feeling like a little bit like resistance towards like the spoiler alert, the idea of like a Joey Pacey type of thing, because I'm just like, I don't really want to see this couple come to an end. And I'm kind of just having like a little bit of problems.
You mean like, Pacey and Andy?
I don't want to see Pacey and Andy come to the end. And I know that this whole, all these people are like Pacey and Joey. It's like, I don't, at this point of my first initial watch, I'm feeling resistance towards it. It's like, I'm very protective over my girl, Joey. Like, I don't want her to just, like, go for anybody. And I like this couple between Pacey and Andy. And I'm just, like, feeling, like, a little, like, perturbed.
I think it's just one of those things where you have to let it play out and see how you feel as time moves on. Because this is the very, very start of Pacey and Andy. And not only that, but we're also still in the really, in my opinion, I think we're in the good part of Dawson and Joey. Like, I really like them.
Right now, I've already written them off. I'm over them.
Well, I think I prefer them now versus when it was Joey pining for Dawson, right?
Because I do too.
We just felt bad for Joey all the time. And so now at least it's better. I feel like the only storyline that we're really, not that we're not vibing with, the only character for us that has really just like fell off the deep end is Jen. And like, even now.
Well, I didn't mind Jen that badly this episode. She was like,
no, she's fine. I feel like she's more like average, right, in this episode.
Yeah, I think like, you know, I think that like Joey, Pacey, Andy, Joey, Pacey, Jen. No, fuck. I always mess this up. Okay, hold on. I think that Dawson, Joey, Pacey, and Andy are kind of at the same tier of like, I like them good. Yeah. And then we got Jen and Jack kind of like on a slightly lower tier. And Abby, like, she doesn't really, she's not, I love Abby. Like, I really do. But like, I can't be like, she's like a serious main character like the rest of them.
Yeah.
She's just not.
But I do think that Abby elevates Jen and makes her storyline more compelling. So at least we have that. Yeah. And I just feel like, I mean, I think we messaged about this a little bit, but like, I'm enjoying season two so much. Like,
yeah, it's a great season so far.
Yeah, there's so much going on. And here's the thing. I don't hate Tamara being back as much as I thought I would, because it's not with Pacey. Like, we got over that. We did that the one episode.
Hopefully
we're done with it. Now we're just wading through the nonsense between her and Mitch and like all of that nonsense. But I really love this episode. I'm really excited. Like, I obviously know where we go from here, but I'm really excited to like dive into more of these pairings and to get more of the Andy Jack backstory as time goes on. I think that like this show did need that. I think it would have gotten stale if they just had the core four Creek Creeps.
I agree.
You know?
I agree. Yeah.
We needed to inject some new characters in, especially because, and we talked about this a lot, we always felt like Pacey never really got his fair like storyline. Like, he always was just kind of lumped in. And this is like, finally, he's holding his own as like a full-fledged main character having his own storyline.
Yeah, I'm really happy with Pacey. I really, really like Pacey this season. I will join in on the Pacey's Pond love, whatever that means. like, I feel like I'm, like, trying to be in this fandom and I know nothing. And I'm just like, haha, like, Pacey's Pond. Like, that's so funny.
Yeah.
Just trying to fit in. And everyone's like, you don't even go here.
Yeah.
Do you want some feedback?
I would love feedback.
Okay. So we were gifted so much feedback this week.
It was a good episode. I'm not surprised.
Yeah. So we have an email from Linda. Hey, Sarah and Jess. Some thoughts about Full Moon Rising. What I love most about this episode, as it shows you, never know what's going on with somebody and why you shouldn't judge people based on their outward appearance. So true, Linda. Yeah. I always think good about point. That. Like, there's always so much shit going on under the surface with people. It's actually, like, pretty fascinating. Like, I don't mean to, like, become, like, an armchair psychologist, but it's just, like, a fascinating thing to me. Yeah. Pacey thought Andy was the spoiled, bratty country club girl who had everything, while in reality, she's dealing with soul-crushing pain and the reality of caring for her mom.
Mm-hmm.
And she gives some, here, and she gives some quotes from, like, that scene. Pacey goes, Andy, come here. Andy says, no, don't pity me, okay? Andy, it's not pity. Come here. It's okay. And I feel like that, as a woman, is when you're going through something, that is all you want a man to say, or your significant other, or whomever, a friend. Come here. It's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that you pointed that out, Linda. Yeah.
And I also think, too, like, Andy's so used to taking care of others at this point that to have somebody mm-hmm. that's going to take care of her, even if it's just for, like, 10 minutes and give her a hug, I think she needs that, right? She needs a support system. And right now she is the support system. Jack's there, but I don't feel like Jack is the type to be like, come here, Andy, like, let me support you. Let me give you a hug.
No,
he's kind of brush it under the rug and move on.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. This moment when Andy finally lets her guard down, getting true support and comfort from Pacey, is so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Meredith is amazing in this episode. I'm assuming that Meredith is the actress
yeah.
who plays Andy. Yeah, I forgot.
No, she was fantastic. So good.
She really was. Other random thought, do people actually talk to their parents the way Dawson talks to his?
No.
Hell no.
No.
I mean, the moment that I call my mom Robin, like, I felt like I was on top of the world. Like, Robin, like... Or sometimes, like, when I lived with her, I was like, Robbie, like, you gotta settle down.
Oh my
like,
God.
That's, like, the worst that, like, I got to that point where I'm just like, girl to girl, Robbie, like, you're acting like a psycho. And that's, like, pretty much the extent.
Yeah, no, I would never. I mean, not the way Dawson talks to his parents about being a sexual being. Like, no, absolutely not.
No. Fun fact, I used to have a Go Away Abby as the sound of my computer when anyone logged off AIM.
That is so
I totally
funny.
Dated myself. Love the pod, Linda. Thank you so much, Linda.
Linda, that is fantastic and also hilarious. That's a perfect goal. That's a perfect sound to play when on AIM when people leave. That's fantastic.
How can I get that clip? We used to do so much stuff when we were, like, in the MySpace AIM era. Like, I was an HTML coder, and now I can't even do it. Like, how did we do that back then?
I think it was just, like, what else were we doing with our time?
I wouldn't even know how, honestly. Okay. Our next email is from our friend Kelly. Dirtbag Kelly. So I sent Kelly the pilot season to My Life as We Know It, and he says he's going to check it out. And then he said that pilot season has a lot of good shows, and he downloaded, he said, 27 potential shows or podcasts
to
listen to.
Shout out to MJC.
So we're going to have to tell MJC, our friend, who is the host of that podcast, because he's going to be very tickled.
Yeah.
Okay, so back in Dawson's room, kind of cool opening the scene where no one is in the same area. I like the roof. Like, we never hung out on the roof before, and I like that change.
They should hang out there more because it's beautiful.
It's very beautiful. The moon was huge. Cue Andy and Pacey movie store scene. And Jen slaps Abby. That is an iconic moment.
Mm-hmm.
We have awkwardness between Gail and Mitch. She why are Gail and Mitch so touchy with their guests? Gail touches the dude on the leg when leaving the room. Mitch guides Tamara down the hall. Yeah, obviously they're peacocking towards each other, right?
It was a little weird, especially because if you know that Mitch is concerned, you don't have to sit directly next to the dude on the couch. Yeah. Like, there are so many chairs around, girl. Like, find another spot to sit. Like, I'm not saying Mitch is correct or anything like that, but I'm just saying, like, if I had a guest like that, I feel like it's more awkward to sit next to somebody because you're turning your body to face them versus sitting across from them seems just like a more natural spot to sit. Just saying.
Yeah. I know. You're so right. And then he goes, really? Law school, Vincent? So you know about statutory rape.
Yes. What a good point, Kelly. Oh, my gosh. You're so spot on. Yes.
Yeah. And then he goes, so Vincent, not just statutory rape, but just rapist. Anyway, like, you know, like, you know, you should, like, as a law student, you should know. Mm-hmm. You know, Grams with the save. Thank goodness Grams was there. Mm-hmm. He likes that Jack's making moves, or he points out that Jack's making moves. And then he goes, so Andy's taking care of his mom, lots to handle, points out the ladder back up. Mm-hmm. So questions of the week. Who should leave, Mitch or Gail? I kind of feel like Gail should leave because she's the one that fucked up. But then I'm like, she's the breadwinner in the family, so it's easier if Mitch leaves. Also, Dawson's a big mama's boy, right?
I ever thought about whether Dawson was a mama's boy. I don't know. I feel like he has like a similar relationship to both parents, so I don't know.
I think he probably was more so a mama's boy before this affair thing happened.
Yeah.
But I think that it got weird for Dawson and Gail. But he takes his mom's side ultimately in this argument.
Right, because he wants his dad to just forgive her so that they can all move on. I don't know. I think that's like a serious discussion they have to have on who should be the one to leave. If Gail is the one making the money, then obviously she's probably the one who can afford to stay there and pay the mortgage and all of that. So that would obviously be a factor. But I also think it probably depends on who is the one who makes the call ultimately on who should leave. I don't know. I think it's a tough call, though.
Absolutely. Should Joey have said something to Dawson, or should she have like waited a day? Maybe wait a day. If you're going to say something, maybe just wait one day.
I think one so. Day. I think it's like easy enough to say you were going through a really tough time last night. I didn't feel like it was good to pile on, but yada, 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 I think is the move. Yeah.
We get more Andy backstory that she's taking care of her parent, basically, which hits close to home for me. So this really tugged at my heartstrings. Also, we get Andy take on Jack here, or his problem solving method. Oh, we get Andy's take on Jack here and his problem solving method. Yeah, this was very interesting how she talked about Jack. Once again, it's very realistic because it's nice to see a sibling in a TV show talk about their sibling. Like, I'm trying to think, like, does this happen that often where they're, like, talking / complaining / like, you know, like, this is how my brother deals with these things and this is how I'm dealing with this. I feel like I don't see that often in television.
No, and I do think that Andy and Jack have kind of a unique relationship, and we'll see a lot more later, but I think that, like, this is just the start of a very interesting family dynamic for them in general, and also as siblings, because they're very different in how they deal with things. Like, you'd think, I don't know, I always just assume people who are creative, especially, you know, the art type, right, like Jack is, because he feels his emotions so deeply, you'd think he would also emote them more, but he is a little more guarded. So
can you say Scorpio?
Yeah, I'm interested to see like what we think. I mean, eventually we're obviously doing an astrology podcast eventually for Dawson's Creek, but I think we need to get to know the newer characters more before we could do that anyway. So
yeah. Also, what are our thoughts on Jack making a move? I was excited about it. I think that it's what Joey needs at this moment. Probably not, but I was excited.
Okay, it's like
More mess. I felt it coming. Like, I was able to tell for, like, a few episodes that Jack was crushing on Joey. What's not to crush on? She's gorgeous. She's interesting. She's mysterious. Mm-hmm. Like, she's intelligent. So, of course. So, looking forward to hashtag May baseball. new hashtag swing into May. Right? Is that swinging into baseball May? Whatever. A League of Their Own is a great choice. Looking forward to the podcast. As always, great work, ladies. Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you, Kelly. That's going to be coming out. That'll already be out by the time this podcast drops. So definitely give that a listen.
Give that a go. Okay. And then I have one more email. This is from Ben Cohen. The subject is, OMG, I love your singing. So this is from Ben. So this was, So this is from Ben. We last heard from Ben. He was the one that sent us the Heart is in Our Hands, Hand is in the Clouds. And said, if we don't want to sing it, then we can just play it.
Yes, okay.
No, this is so funny, Ben, because this has been like our little bit for the last couple weeks. Mm-hmm. But, okay, so the email reads, sorry, a couple weeks behind, I binge your podcast. So today is my 3-week catch up with them crazy Dawson's Creek girls. We're those crazy Dawson Creek girls. I love that.
It's not inaccurate. So.
I sent you the song in case you wanted a little history on it. Kind of fell in love with a song in the early 2000s when the season 2 DVD release came out and searched the internet high and low to find the song. It's still on my iPhone and multiple playlists. As for your singing, I love the singing. It's just... It's just dangerous for me if I have coffee in my mouth. Still cleaning my monitor here from the first time that inspired me to email you both.
Oh my gosh.
He did a spit take.
Thank you so much. That is so funny. Oh my gosh.
Look, funny is funny and you two are it. I don't give a fuck about 90s hair and fashion stuff, but you two make me yeem. To hear your takes, as I didn't know this stuff was so funny. I'm old enough that I watched this show after I graduated college and still enjoyed a little bit of teen angst on my TV. Just wanted to let you know I love the singing, and for me, it's just dangerous. You're gonna love this. I may wear my triple thick face mask when listening to you guys so I don't projectile spew coffee on my monitor. Seriously, keep up the great work from the BC himself.
Oh, thank you so much, Ben. That was Ben. So
Ben,
funny.
I read this email earlier, and I was like, Jen. Oh my god, I called you Jen.
There's a Jen on the show, to be fair.
I think it's because it's Ben. Yeah, Ben and Jen.
Ben and Jen. Yeah.
Ben, I read this email and I was like, Jess is going to die when she hears this. So funny. So funny. We'll keep singing for you. Yes. I promise.
Please send more emails in, Ben. We'd love Jess to get is your like, piece.
Yeah, Jess is like a good singer. Like, I'm just like not.
I can carry a tune, but like I'm not auditioning for like American Idol by any means. So
no, like she can. It's me. It's like all me. Like I. If I tried, maybe. Yeah,
to be
but
fair, we're both in our theme song.
We are both in our it's theme. Like, at the
game
very
is at minus 10, but we're there.
Yeah. No. So we'll keep singing because we, and there's a little bit singing on our League of Their Own podcast. So yes. If you want to tune in to that, let me know. Jess, do you have I think I've asked you this a million times, but for our friends, do you have a karaoke song that you always sing?
Don't Stop Believin' is 100% my karaoke song, as it's probably everybody's, but I don't care because I love it.
So my karaoke song is Hero by Enrique Iglesias, and it is a humorous interpretation of it. Mm. It's meant to be funny.
Sounds like a good time.
So, well, one day you'll see it.
There we go. I can't wait. I don't want to wait. Day.
I don't want to wait. Fashion hour?
Let us get into the fashion hour. All right. So starting off with the Rachel Green Award for the most 90s outfit of the episode. Starting off, we're starting off with Jen here. This was her first outfit of the episode. As soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, I know her. I know her. she is wearing a maxi skirt with slits up the sides. It's kind of like an ombre, but with a pattern. She has on a kind of almost like a see-through light blue short sleeve blouse, underneath it a white cami, a crossbody bag, very classic, and her hair has some like little twists in it as per the huge, because it is the 90s. I believe she was wearing some type of sandal with this as well, but it was mainly the maxi skirt where I was like, I'm pretty sure I owned something like that. So
yeah, the shirt's like the mesh with the, like the cami underneath, and yeah. I'm pretty sure there's some butterfly clips, and she has like a side saddle bag. I think it's like a satchel bag. Very, very 90s of a look. I mean, clips in the hair, it may or may not be butterfly clips, who knows. Gosh, I loved a butterfly clip.
Who didn't?
Yeah, this is a very 90s outfit. Good choice. Yep.
And, of course, the minute I saw Jen in her date outfit, I was like, shit, she's going to appear in the Rachel Green category twice. But it had to happen because this dress, again, for some reason, maxi dresses to me are like just classically 90s. This is it's actually a really pretty shade of blue. Kind of like, I don't know, like oceany blue almost, because it kind of it's kind of like a gradient, like it fades a little bit. It's kind of halfway. It's not really a short sleeve, but it's also not a three quarter sleeve. It's somewhere in the middle. It has really weird kind of flowery detailing along the neckline, and kind of crisscrosses in the front. And then it has like sheer sleeves on it, and her hair is the most that it reminds me of in the intro thus far, yes, since she's had it, yeah, this style.
Yeah, I guess she curled it for this date.
I know, I'm not feeling it at all. The hair.
Yeah.
Specifically.
Yeah, you got this crisscross boob thing, which is pretty 90s and never looked good on really anybody, but
no chest size is gonna go unharmed by that
because it's like, is your boob supposed to go within the triangle or outside the triangle?
So you'd think it would go within the triangle because that's what like swimsuits do, but like whose boobs are that small? Like, I mean, obviously Michelle Williams has like a larger chest for like her age, but still, even like the tiniest boobs are gonna struggle to fit in there.
Yeah, it's a setup for bad boob placement. I'm not a fan of this dress. It's just like kind of ugh, but yeah, it is 90s, so it does deserve a place in the Rachel Green Award nominations.
Yeah. And lastly, we have Andy's date outfit. So she is wearing kind of a shorter mini dress almost. And it is like a very light, pale blue with a lot of floral on it, kind of black detailing along the neckline and kind of like under, looks to be like it's supposed to be under the bust, but it kind of falls like awkwardly on the bust in my opinion. And then she's wearing a platform sandal, which is also classically 90s. She has her hair pulled back in like one pin, which I do think like pins and barrettes were another thing we saw a lot in the 90s. So
like this day outfit is pretty good for Andy. Andy likes to wear blue. Like blue is kind of her color.
Yeah.
The seam is suspicious. This is another suspicious boob placement of a seam. But the clips do it. When I first saw this outfit, I'm like, oh, I think this could be my winner. I'm debating if like I kind of like Jen's outfit better. Mm-hmm. But, like, have we given one to Andy yet? I'm not quite sure. Let's give it to Jen, her first outfit, her blue outfit. Because I feel like it's slightly more 90s. And I think that maybe Andy could have just taken it up a slight notch. Maybe she needed like a sweater or something.
I think there was like a little bit of something missing, or even like a cute bag. She doesn't have a purse, which is
because she forgot her purse like at the movie theater, because she's been like running with like her head cut off, like all over the place. Like, she's like, where's Paisley?
All right. So up next, we have the Paul Rudd Certificate of Timelessness for the most timeless outfit. Up first, I mean, you could argue one way or the other, in my opinion, in this case. However, I chose to put Abby in the Paul Rudd Certificate of Timelessness because, and this is her spy, her spy outfit. She's wearing, not, I mean, I don't know if she's trying to fit in with like a jungle theme here, but girl, you in the creek, you are not in the jungle. She is wearing like a cheetah print, long sleeved, puffy zip up sweatshirt. Her hair is pulled back into a low ponytail with like a couple different clips in it. And then she has on like a standard like black pant, nothing crazy, but I do think animal prints are really trending now. So that's why I kind of thought it fit still in the timelessness category.
Yeah, I'm like, she fits in Jersey just fine. Yes. We love animal print in Jersey. Yeah. It was dark in the scene. It was very hard to make out, but she's definitely wearing a black shirt underneath her jacket, mm-hmm. and a black pant. Has to be incognito, like can't be spotted.
Yeah,
definitely, like she is like on the safari, and the thing that she's trying to capture is Vincent and Jen. Yes. So yeah. It's definitely a mood. I like how, I just love that she was just sitting in Dawson's room. And she's like, and then like Dawson's like, what are you doing here? And she's just like, sup, bro.
Yeah.
Like, you want to spy with me? Here's my giant binoculars.
Here, put on this cheetah print jacket and
match. Yeah. She got one for Dawson too.
Yeah.
And like, obviously, Jen was always talking about like Joey going through the window on the ladder. So like, Abby knew what she had to do.
Oh, yeah. She definitely knew it was there. Yeah. The other option for the Paul Rudd Certificate of Timelessness is going to be Jack, and it is the outfit that he kisses Joey in. It's kind of like a very bland outfit, but it also is very timeless in my opinion. It's kind of just like a beige, tan, you know, V-neck t-shirt, backwards baseball cap. He's wearing what looked to be kind of like a khaki short and then just sneakers with white socks. But I mean, kind of a timeless outfit, especially the backwards baseball cap. I still think people will wear. Maybe it's not a snapback, but people will wear it.
As I comment on this, how old is the actor that plays Jack?
Oh, gosh.
In this?
I don't know.
If you could do it quick.
I'll do a quick search right now. Quick.
I really like this outfit. I like the backwards cap. I think the backwards cap is always timeless. I like this color on him, this taupey color, this little V-neck. I mean, I like this outfit. He has, like, some just khaki shorts on, some sneakers. Like, it's a good, like, guy's outfit, and I think it is, like, it could be timeless. Absolutely.
He's 26.
And when he, at this point,
I believe so. Yeah.
He has really, really nice calves and legs that are nice and thick. And I like to look at them. And he's pretty hot.
Yeah, he's not to bad boot. Looking.
Yeah. This is the eye candy that I was looking for in the first season. Mm-hmm. I'm like, where's the hot guy? Where's that guy? Am I supposed to think here Dawson's hot? Maybe. Am I supposed to think Pacey's hot? He still has the baby face. They got him. They got the memo. They're like, okay, Jack's going to be like the heartthrob.
There you go.
I think. I mean, it's everybody has a type.
Yep.
Well, not everybody has a type. So I'm going to give it to Jack because he has really nice legs. He goes to leg day,
I would assume. Yeah, he didn't skip leg day. That's for sure.
Did not skip like that. Right.
So congratulations to Jen and Jack. They are the winners of our prestigious awards this week.
Very prestigious.
Shall we also discuss our notable 90s song? Because girl, this song.
Oh, okay. So yeah.
Bop. Hands, oh my God. By Jewel. Mm-hmm. Good God. I love Jewel. Jewel is everything.
I love Jewel. I didn't know that you like Jewel. We've never talked about this. Yes. I like Jewel.
Jewel is the 90s. Jewel is the 90s.
Well, I mean, I love Jewel. This is one of my least favorite Jewel songs, but I do love Jewel. When I was going through a breakup, it was really a breakdown, actually. That was a slip of the tongue. I used to play You Were Meant For Me over and over and over again. And then Who Will Save Your Soul and Foolish Games.
Yes. Yes.
Anything from Pieces of You, yes! Her 1995 album.
I can was picture just that album perfect. Cover. Like, My mom and I used to like clean a lot on the weekends together, and we would like choose, like switch who got to like choose the CDs, and Jewel was always like one of the ones that I would pick because I loved Jewel.
Yeah. It's great. If you haven't listened to Jewel in a while, it definitely is still great music.
Yeah.
Hands is a classic. I feel like everybody knows it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Do we want to have you guess what's going to happen next episode based on the title?
Yeah, I don't know what the title is. Tell me.
Honestly, I'm annoyed, and I'll tell you why. Because this episode is called The Dance. Bitch, we had an episode called Dance. Why do we now have an episode called again. The Dance?
They did it again. It was Kiss and The Kiss. I don't understand.
We've been fucking bamboozled again.
There's going to be a dance. And I think that obviously Joey is going to go with Dawson, but then Jack is going to be like sulking in the corner, staring at them like a fucking creep. And then Andy and Pacey are going to go together. And then Tamara is going to like somehow be there and be staring at Pacey like a fucking creep.
Yeah, she's going to somehow get into chaperoning the dance.
Yeah, exactly. And then Jen and Abby are going to go. And then Jen is going to be staring at Abby sulking and mad in the corner, and at Dawson sulking mad in the corner. So we're gonna have like the people that are having fun, and then we're gonna have the sulkers.
I love it. I love your predictions. Yeah. So that's what's gonna happen, people. That's coming up next, episode 6 of season 2 of Dawson's Creek. So stay tuned, people. Let's see. What are we doing this week? As usual, we are doing Boy Meets World. Tune in for that. Those podcasts release on Thursdays. We already talked a little bit about swinging into May. So we have A League of Their Own will have already dropped at this point. More bonus content to come this month. So that's exciting. Is that everything? I think that might be everything we have going on right now.
Yeah. If you still didn't see our appearance on Our Haps Blind Date with Rob's sister Nina Chappelle, like go check that out. That was a lot of fun. I am clubhousing every Friday at 6 o'clock, and I do every other night. Sometimes I do Walk Bell With Me clubhouses, where at 10 o'clock at night, you come on a walk with me to Walk Bell. So at Sarah Ferguson on the clubhouse, find me and Walk Bell With Me if you're there.
Absolutely. And if you want to send in feedback to the podcast, at Shit90sPod on social media and Shit90sPod@gmail.com. Obviously, we love getting emails. We love reading emails. Send in ratings, reviews, 5 stars. It'll boost us up so more people can listen. We can have more people chatting with us about all these crazy 90s shows. And we appreciate you all listening. This has been so much fun. I'm so excited for season 2 of Dawson's Creek. It's been so amazing that I just know there's even more craziness to come. So it's going to be great.
I'm excited. It's a great season so far.
Yes. So thank you all for listening. We will talk to you all next time. Have a good one. Bye.
Shit90shows.me.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.